This is an AMI podcast.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
From AMI Central.
Now circling in the neutral zone. Here's the pitch on the way. 36 yards for the win.
This.
Here comes a big chance. The shot.
Is
this the dagger?
The neutral zone.
Oh, good.
This is as good as it gets.
Now, here's your host, two-time Paralympian, Brock Richardson.
What's going on? We're going to dive right in today. I am indeed your host, Brock Richardson. I have a say I want to bring them on because I love when I get the on-air chuckles as I tell ridiculous stories, and it's going to be a doozy, I hope. So, let's start with one Cam Jenkins. Cameron, how are you?
I'm doing great, Brock. It's Friday. And I'm off after the show to Creemore for the annual Copper Kettle Festival. And it's been 2 years that we haven't been able to go. So looking forward to seeing everybody and celebrating a good time at Copper Kettle Festival.
Sounds like fun. Yes, I always love festivals. They're good to go to festivals. So have fun with that. But please stick around for the next hour before you go on and do that. Also joining us is Josh Watson. Josh, how are you?
I am good, Brock. It has been one heck of a busy week, as I think texted you earlier in the week when it was Monday and felt like Thursday, but things are good. I've finished my day job for the week and left them in good standing so that I can go on vacation starting on Sunday. Looking forward to that. And it's just been a really crazy week, tying up all the loose ends and making sure that everything is done before I leave. And of course, there's still plenty of stuff to do. Add into that a couple people in my life had birthdays this week. My dad had his birthday on Wednesday, and I think both of you gentlemen know one of our listeners, Tammy. She had her birthday on Tuesday. So happy birthday, Tammy, and happy birthday to my dad.
Wow. Yes. Busy birthday week, birthday month as well. There's just a lot of people that have had birthdays in August, and it's been fun. And it's always good, in my opinion, to have a summer birthday. I do wish I had one of those summer birthdays. So I told you guys that I had a story, and it's going to start off weird because you're going to wonder, why does this have anything to do with sports? Well, it does. I went to have a wonderful cavity filling today, and they did the whole process, freezing the mouth, and then they filled the cavity, and then they put that lovely blue piece of paper in your mouth that tastes really not good at all. And so filed it down, and she filed it down, and she said, yeah, when your freezing comes out, hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's grinded down enough. It looks good on paper. And I responded back very quickly, and I said, yeah, that's what they've been telling the Toronto Maple Leafs since 1967, that they look good on paper. So we'll see how this turns out. And I can say for my cavity, it does look good, and it is fine, but that is the joke that I threw out there at the dentist, which they both got, which I was very happy about. But it was very quick-witted, and Catherine Batcher, who accompanied me, told me that I should tell the story on air. So I did, and that's what happened today. Cameron, you don't like that story?
I have a question.
Yes, Josh, go ahead, your question. Josh.
Are you sure that they froze you and didn't give you laughing gas? Because that kind of a joke sounds like the product of laughing gas to me.
No, they definitely froze me. It just shows that I still had my wits about me, even while being frozen.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I've got no comment. Only you would come up with something like that. And on paper, they haven't been good every year since 1967. So that's just a downright lie. Some years they have been, but not. They haven't been good on paper since 1967. So that's just an outright lie.
Oh, dear.
Fair enough. Fair enough. The dentist appreciated it, so
Well, that's important. They're the ones with the sharp implements.
Exactly. Something else we hope the listener appreciates is our headlines. Let's get into them.
Congratulations goes out to the Canadian World Junior Hockey Team for winning the gold medal game 3-2 in a thrilling game against Finland. Team Canada has now won the decade with a total of 4 championships. Going into this event, they were tied with both the United States and Finland. As we are going to be talking about later on in the program, it was a good hockey tournament, obviously, for Canada winning the gold. But a big shout out to Finland, too, because they were only millimeters away or centimeters away from also winning that gold medal, and they played a damn good game. So congratulations to Finland as well.
The suspension to Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has increased from 6 games to 11 games after he violated the sexual assault code of conduct. The suspension has also come with a $15 million fine. Listen, when you violate these types of codes of conduct, there needs to be a high standard held. In my opinion, I would have liked to have seen an entire season, but I'm pretty sure that's not allowed in the bargain agreement as we sit here. So the suspension is what it is, and it's more than half the season. I'm happy, and I hope he learns his lesson.
It may be better than what it was, but it's still a joke. Speaking of quarterbacks, BC Lions quarterback Nathan Rourke will undergo surgery after suffering a Lisfranc sprain on his right foot. The team is hopeful that he will make a return before the end of the season. After starting this season with 248 completions in 313 attempts, 3,281 yards passing, and 25 touchdowns, Rourke was well on his way to a dominant season. Hopefully this injury doesn't keep this dynamic Canadian quarterback out for too long.
Those are your headlines for this week. Let's check in on our Twitter poll questions. Will you be watching this year's Women's World Hockey Championship beginning on August 25th? And it was a tie. 50% said yes, 50% said no. I was kind of hoping for a more tilt towards the yes, but the audience has spoken, and that is the result. Do you believe that the 11-game suspension to Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson was sufficient? Your choices are yes or no, and I have a feeling how one Josh Watson is going to vote, given how he responded once I finish the headline. So cast your votes, and the poll will be up shortly after the live airing of the program on all of our Twitter handles, which will be given out in a bit on the program. Coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Jim Davis, who is an Ontario bocce athlete coming off of provincial championships, winning it for the second straight year. Stay tuned for that conversation and much, much more next year on The Neutral Zone. We'll be back. Everyone else was discussing what they're doing this weekend, and I forgot to mention what I was doing. And I'm doing my annual CNE trip with my wife and now sister-in-law. We're going down to Mississauga, spending the night, and then driving into Toronto tomorrow morning. And technical producer Jeff Ryman asked me if I'm going to try some of the weird and wacky stuff. And I was just like, you know, I got to give some of it a try, like mustard ice cream, and then there's some kind of pickled like slushy or something. Again, gotta give that a try as well. So
mustard
I will
ice cream.
Yeah,
comes up with there's this also stuff. Do they have like ketchup ice cream too?
There is. I was just gonna say there is also ketchup ice cream. I'm not sure I'm gonna try both, but we'll see how things go in that regard.
So that's with ketchup chips. I can't imagine ketchup ice cream.
No, no
yeah,
chance.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Obviously, these guys are not as adventurous as me and wouldn't necessarily try.
I've eaten haggis, thank you very much. I think that's adventurous.
Hey, I've rappelled down a building. That's pretty adventurous, I'd say.
Yeah. We'll talk about in future episodes how I believe Cameron falsely told me that he wasn't going to venture down a building. And then there's some big announcement happening on September the 1st, which we'll see what that is. But anyway, I digress. It's time to bring on our guest for today. Jim Davis comes to us from Niagara Falls, Ontario, and has competed in the sport of bocce for 7 years. He is coming off of a back-to-back winning performance at the provincial championships, and he joins us now to talk all about it. Jim, welcome to the program, and thanks for indulging us on a little bit of our nonsense ahead of bringing you on.
Well, thank you, Brock. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So we can start by talking about how you became involved in the sport of bocce.
So I actually became involved when I started volunteering for our junior bocce program, which is just kids with autism and things like that to play bocce. And I really enjoyed that. And then I actually met Brock's father when he came down to check out our team. And he said that I need to be playing because I'd be an awesome BC2 right off the bat. So that's kind of how I got started 7 years ago. It was kind of by fluke, I guess.
Now, as
but
we
I so enjoyed it. Sorry
about that. As we mentioned in the intro, you recently competed in the Ontario Championships. Can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, so I won back-to-back championships, and playing the Ontario Championships is always fun. And so, you know, you get together with other players from Ontario, and it's a bit of a challenging event to some degree. I am looking forward to the more national events, though, however. So we have the national events coming up. There's one coming up in about a month. So I'm really training hard for that at this point. But.
And Jim, this actually marks the second straight year that you're the champion of this event in your category, as you know, we talked a little bit about earlier. What do you think contributes to your success at this particular event?
I train quite a bit, probably 3 to 4 hours a day, at least 5 days a week. So I work very hard to get where I am. And I just love the sport. It's been great for me. As you may know, people with CP don't have a great number of sports they can be super successful at. So bocce has given me the chance to hopefully become super successful and hopefully play at a national level.
We're joined by Jim Davis, who is a provincial athlete and hoping to get on the national scene sooner rather than later. And he's a bocce athlete, of course. And you're listening to The Neutral Zone here on AMI Audio. I'm your host, Brock Richardson, alongside Cam Jenkins and Josh Watson.
The next two major events are both being held in London, Ontario, with the first being Bocce Blast in October and the second one being the National Championship in November. What are your expectations going into those two events?
Well, I always expect to come back with a medal, but obviously my number one goal would be to win. I never go into an event thinking that I can't win. That's the number one downfall of many athletes. So no matter who I'm competing against, I've never felt like I don't have a chance to win. So my goal is to win. And then my secondary goal would be to win medals or a medal.
Now your team has had basically the same provincial team for the last few years. What, in your mind, makes a team be successful?
It's been said that we're, by many people, that Team Ontario is the best team for communication. And I think that's what makes us so good. We're all friends, And when we're in, say, a team game, we play as a team. We're not, I'm not out to be the best player on the team, and neither is the other players. We play as a team and to win as a team, you know? So.
Ultimately, you've talked about it a little bit, but what is your long-term goal for the sport of bocce?
So actually, my long-term goal would be to get onto the national team. If I'm getting right down into it, get on the national team, stay there a few years, and then eventually start coaching. I currently coach our community club right now, and I also do some coaching for OCPSA at the junior level. So, and I really enjoy coaching. So that in the long term, in the very long term, that's what I hope to eventually do. But first I want to win and get on the national team for a few years.
Yes, that is certainly a good goal. And I get it. I can hear the audience member out there, you know, saying, probably a little bit biased to the fact that his father runs the Ontario program, and there's no denying I am. My father runs a really solid provincial program. We had a storm a couple of years ago. We were supposed to go to Newfoundland, and no one knew what the deal was. Delayed flight after delayed flight, you know, we just... Mm-hmm. We kept going to the airport, coming back, going to the airport, coming back. And one of the nights, my father put on a barbecue, totally unexpected, totally unannounced due to the weather. And it was just a really great time. It was a great camaraderie. We never got to play team. Yeah. And then one of us in this conversation, me, decided to retire after that event was over. And we never really got the opportunity to compete as a team. And that's one of my regrets, if you will, Jim, because I really think that team had a lot of potential. And I just wonder if you could speak to the travel to Newfoundland from your perspective a couple of years ago and what that was like from your perspective.
Okay. That was such an exciting trip. I mean, it was a bit of a bummer that we didn't get off right away, but Team Ontario always makes everything so exciting. Like you said, we got together with your parents and had a barbecue and just had a great time. And for me, I think it might have been my second time at Nationals. So I wasn't really super acquainted with the team. It gave me the chance to get to know everybody a little bit better and really become friends with everyone. And it was just, we always have such an amazing time as Team Ontario. We're so loud and we just have a good time on and off the court.
We are so loud, and we even compete at the banquets to see if we can be the last team standing at the tables, as we won a couple of years ago, which is always fun. So I think that's what makes a good team. And Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. We really appreciate it, and best of luck in future events. And we will be following you for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brock. Bye for now.
Bye for now. That was Jim Davis, who is an Ontario bocce athlete coming off of back-to-back provincial championship events. Coming up after the break, we're going to switch gears to the mainstream sports world. We're going to wrap up the World Juniors because, my goodness, was that a great 3-on-3 overtime game for the gold medal. We're going to dissect all of that and bring on Mark Aflalo, our new technical producer. All that coming up on the second half of the Neutral Zone. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Neutral Zone AMI broadcast booth. And we are set to get this ball game underway. The first pitch brought to you by Brock Richardson's Twitter account at Neutral Zone BR. First pitch, strike. And hey, gang, why not strike up a Twitter chat with Claire Buchanan for the Neutral Zone? Find her at Neutral Zone CB. And there's a swing and a chopper out to second base right at Claire. She picks up the ball, throws it over to first base for a routine out. And fans, there is nothing routine about connecting with Cam and Josh from the Neutral Zone. At Neutral Zone, Cam J and at JWatson200. Now that's a winning combination. And this Oregon interlude is brought to you by AMI Audio on Twitter. Get in touch with the Neutral Zone. Type in at AMI Audio.
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone here on AMI Audio. I'm your host, Brock Richardson, alongside Cam Jenkins and Josh Watson. I just want to shout out our other co-host in this foursome that we have, and that is Claire Buchanan, who is in Green Bay, Wisconsin, ready to participate in the Worlds for the first time in the women's game, and they will take on the United States tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and all through the weekend. You can get the schedule and follow along with live streaming if you just connect with the women's Facebook page. So they will be there, and it's just women's sledge hockey there. You just have to type it in, Canadian sledge hockey, of course, and that's where you can get the feed as well. And they're playing all through the weekend, so best of luck to Claire, and we'll have everybody on the 13th, which is our first launch of the YouTube show. And so we're going to chat with Claire a little bit about that event and then have one of her teammates join us the following week. So good luck to the team over there in Wisconsin. And I will tell you that she was very proud that she got to go to Lambeau Field, as she is a cheesehead, which is a Packers fan. And she never got to go in because she didn't get there on time. But she was very, very excited. And I got a bunch of, "I'm at Lambeau Field," in capital letters. It was quite, quite amazing. So good luck to the team. And bring home the gold medal. Please, please do. As we mentioned earlier, this marks the end of the World Junior Hockey Championship, and it was a one-goal game against Finland. I don't think a lot of people thought that Finland would be the team to compete against Canada. I think a lot of people thought it would be Sweden or the United States, both being upset by Czechia if you were the United States, and the aforementioned Finns if you were Sweden. Let's just chat a little bit about the championships in general. Were you surprised at how dominant Team Canada was? And we'll delve into that crazy 3-on-3 goal in a minute. I just want an overall, were you surprised by the dominance of Team Canada? Josh, start with you.
To be very honest with you, a team like Team Canada in a tournament like this usually historically does very well. And so for me, it wasn't a huge surprise. I'll be honest, I do think the results this year are a little bit skewed because, of course, due to the situation in Ukraine, we did not have the Russian team here. And I believe Belarus was also not present, and they are normally a part of, if not the A side of the tournament, then the B side of the tournament. So I do think that skews things a little bit. But overall, in terms of Canadian dominance, I wasn't really surprised at all.
No, it's Team Canada. And, you know, we're all nice here in Canada, and we say sorry a lot, and we don't have a lot of confidence for things, or at least those are the stigmas. But one thing that we are very confident, bordering on cocky, is for hockey. So I'm not surprised that Canadians did so well. They were, as mentioned earlier in the show, they were millimeters or centimeters away from losing the gold medal game too. And Finland, they seem to be a really good team now, and they always seem to be competing with Canada in the medal rounds. It seems to be like for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years at least. And I say that because I have a friend that lives in Finland. Her name is Lotta, so shout out to Lotta. And we're always going back and forth as far as, oh, Canada won or, oh, Finland won. So just because of having to have those conversations with her, I know that Finland is doing very well on the world stage these days for the past few years.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, you know, that all speaks to what we mentioned in the headline, was that, you know, three teams were tied at three championships in the decade, and that's Finland, United States, and Canada. And when you win three championships in a decade, and now Canada has, you know, the fourth one, but as the Finns are concerned, winning three championships is no joke. You know, they kind of are a team that kind of, you know, don't have the flashiest of game. They kind of, you know, submit you into almost boredom playing against them, but they get the job done. I mean, it that's the truth of the matter. And look at the 1-0 game against the Swedes. They did nothing but score and then just shut it down. And I will admit, that was the most boring hockey game to watch in a semifinal, but the job got done. Then they kind of opened up because Canada got out to a 2-0 lead, and then all of a sudden, Canada took their foot off the gas pedal, and they were like 0-for-7 on the power play, couldn't get anything done, and the Finns just kept chipping away, and then we got into the overtime period. Cameron, Mason McTavish had a really great defensive play on the goal line where the puck did not cross the line. He was kind of swinging a stick and it moved off the line just barely. What did you make of that play? And then we'll ask Josh the very same thing.
Yeah, I think he was praying to the hockey gods and just, as you say, swiping his stick, happened to hit it. And it didn't go in. So, you know, pray to the hockey gods, the Canadian hockey gods, whoever you want to pray to or to thank. You know, that doesn't happen too often. And that just goes to show you, you know, the level that it takes to win at that game or at that level. Because it's literally a game of millimeters a lot of the time. And you know, some of it seems to be a bit lucky too. So do you have to be good to be lucky or lucky to be good? I don't know.
Well, Cam, with that last part, I think you read my mind because I was thinking that as well. You have to be good to be lucky and lucky to be good. I think the thing that's important to note about that absolutely incredible play is that when McTavish started his junior career, he wasn't necessarily known for his defense. He was known as a goal scorer. And so I know on the broadcast, they made a big deal about the fact that here he was likely to be known for a defensive play at the World Juniors when his game initially was offensive and he had to really work hard to be a defensive factor. So I think it was incredible. I think he did an amazing job when you consider how many goals he scored. And for it to come down to that one play and that couple of millimeters one way or the other, it was an amazing game to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And he was a guy who wanted to come back. He was he was going to be involved in NHL camps. And off the top of my head, I can't remember who he's drafted by. But he was going to be involved in NHL camps. And he said, no, I want to go back and play. I want to finish the job. I want to do this. And you guys, you're right in saying that he will be known as, you know, the guy who made the defensive play on the goal line. And it was just so amazing to watch. I did not like the 3-on-3 overtime. I just want to put that out there. Regardless of who won, I just don't know if that's how you solve a gold medal game. I'd much rather that than a shootout. There's no question about that. They did mention on the broadcast that the IIHF and the World Junior Hockey Championships cannot go to 4-on-4. I did all I could do to try to research as to why. I could not find a definitive answer as to why they, quote, could not do that. But nonetheless, I'd rather it solved in that way than a shootout, which happened a couple of years back. And I think that just kind of tipped the scales and people were kind of like, okay, we need to get rid of this shootout, at least to solve a gold medal game. I want to move towards the crowds in Edmonton. The first game that Canada had 2,500 people, and then it progressively got better to a little over 13,000 for the gold medal game, which was the only game that had a more than 12,000 aside from the gold medal game. Everything else was 10 or under beyond that gold medal game. Your thoughts on this? I've heard a lot about ticket pricing and maybe that was a factor. Maybe it's the summer. I personally believe, guys, it's a combination of everything, but I was hearing ticket prices were astronomical. For the semifinal, cheapest ticket was $150. Just curious on your thoughts in that regard. Start with Josh on that one.
I think anytime you try to have what is traditionally a winter sport take place in the summer, it's going to be a challenge, especially when you consider that you're in Alberta, where it's just such a beautiful countryside and you've got people busy working land and all of those things. And you've just got summer activities going on and people going on vacations and things like that. Now, having said that, 2,500 is a little scary to me. That's very low, especially for a Team Canada game. I can remember watching, I believe it was a Sweden and Finland game, and they panned briefly around the arena as they were following the play, and it looked virtually empty. That is really troubling and really tragic, in my opinion. This is a wonderful hockey tournament, but I just think the time of year, and I agree that I think ticket prices were too high. I think traditionally ticket prices are high for this event, and they don't need to be, but it's just one of those things where I think it just is a product of the pandemic where it just happened at the wrong time of year, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we really haven't talked about either is the Hockey Canada scandal and how many people didn't go and watch because of that. I know for myself, I took a stand in solidarity with the women that were allegedly sexually abused, and I didn't watch any of the tournament. Of course, you can't help but see some of the replays on social media or on the, if you're watching SportsCenter but I didn't watch any of the games, and that was, like I said, to be in solidarity with the women that were allegedly sexually abused and previous years. And I really wonder if maybe that's some of the reason, because when you look at the price, I would love to know what the prices were of the junior tournament when it was between Christmas and New Year. Has it changed at all? Because if the prices haven't changed at all, or maybe they went up a bit, because you always put the prices up a bit, why is it that between Christmas and New Year's that it's packed and then in the summertime it's not? And some good things have been said, or reasons as to why, because, maybe people are on summer vacation and they're not able to make it there. It's a nice out. They don't want to be in a hockey rink. All good reasons as to also why, but it's Canadian hockey and Canadians usually always show up no matter what the time of year.
Cameron, to your point, and I want an answer from both of you, starting with Cameron. Was this just simply a bad thing to run this tournament back. And I recognize what I'm saying is like, oh my goodness, how could you say that about the World Junior Hockey Championship? Because it's a Christmas staple, all of those things. Was it a mistake for the reasons of what's going on with Hockey Canada and also the time of year? Or do you believe that that event needed to be run regardless? Cameron, and then Josh with an answer.
Well, I think at the end of the day, the Hockey Canada scandal, that has nothing to do with the IIHF, and it's in a IIHF tournament. And I'm assuming that they get a lot of the ticket sales and so on and so forth. And I'm wouldn't surprise me if the IIHF, you know, has a deal with TSN, because TSN has the rights to that hockey tournament. So I think that if it was in a different country, maybe there might have been a better turnout. But I really think that people didn't show up because of what's going on with Hockey Canada. And yeah, that's just my opinion.
I think that it's entirely possible that that was something that did play into it for a lot of people. Having said that, when we talk to the, do you have to run the tournament regardless? It's such a tradition and it's such a yearly event in the hockey world that I do think you have to run it regardless of the timing. And I mean, let's not forget that it did run in December in and around Christmas. The reason it was stopped was because of a COVID outbreak. So had the event happened then, before all of this came out with Hockey Canada and all of the rest of it, it would be really interesting to know whether it would have performed better. Personally, I think that because of where it was hosted and having it at Christmas time when it's cold and snowy and all the rest of it, I think you would see a better turnout just based on weather and time of year. There's more people available. But I certainly can't deny or diminish that it could very well be a situation where there was some backlash as a result of the scandal, and rightfully so. I mean, I would like to think that you can support something without necessarily supporting the organization that runs it, but I understand those that say, no, you can't.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, there's plenty of concerts going on in Edmonton, and they pack the concerts for the singing, and they only come once a year, or not even once a year, or once every few years. And it's not as though the hockey championships are in, you know, where they were every year either. So yeah, it's just my personal belief that it has a lot to do with the Hockey Canada scandal, and that's why people didn't show up.
Be interesting to see what happens come December 26th of this year, just to see what kind of turnout it is. And it will be back in Canada again, as Russia was supposed to host and got that relinquished due to what's going on in the world. But it'll be interesting to revisit this conversation when we get to in and around the World Juniors moving forward. With that, we're going to take our final break on our final live episode of the Neutral Zone. We're going to come back and we're going to be joined by our new technical producer, Mark Afalo. He's going to be chatting about some of the visual elements that you can expect to see when we move to a video podcast. Stay tuned for that conversation next here on the Neutral Zone. Welcome back to the Neutral Zone here on AMI Audio. I'm your host, Brock Richardson, alongside Cam Jenkins and Josh Watson. As we previewed 2 weeks ago, the Neutral Zone will be going to a video podcast beginning on Tuesday, September 13th. Joining us now to talk about what you can see from a visual perspective is our new technical producer. And as mentioned a couple of weeks ago, has the daunting task of making us all look good on YouTube. That would be Mark Afalo, tasked with that next job. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not sure if that's something that can be done, but we'll try.
Wow. Shots fired already.
There we go.
I feel like I'm baptized already before I even start.
Fantastic. For those audience members that may not know, how did you get involved with AMI Audio? AMI.
Oh, wow. This goes back. I couldn't even tell you how many years, but way back when the VP of Content Development and Programming, Mr. John Melville, and I had worked in a prior life at other companies doing various projects. So when he started with AMI, he had called me up and he said, "Hey, Mark, I want to use some of your expertise. Maybe you can teach some people some different things about, you know, the broadcast world that I was coming from." And I helped, you know, do various things in production. I helped around marketing. I helped around programming, and it kind of stemmed from there. I've been doing various tasks for AMI since that time, and here we are today with just one more to put under my belt.
So, Mark, what you're trying to tell us as well from the top of the segment here is that you don't have any de-aging software to help us out here?
I do. I just don't know if it's capable of helping all of you at the same time.
Okay, fair enough. As long as it can help the oldest guy on the show, which is me, I'll be quite indebted to you. So,
I will do my best. I promise to do my best.
Okay. So other than the obvious of being able to see us on a weekly basis, what can the audience expect from a visual point of view from the Neutral Zone video podcast?
Well, aside from seeing all of your beautiful faces on YouTube, we now have the opportunity to add some visual components to a lot of the audio that's out there. So things like your show intro and things like different segments throughout the show. When appropriate, if you're talking about, you know, latest news or people that come on the show, we can actually have them on in video form. If they're not able to join in video form, we can use still imagery. We can use video B-roll from, you know, different highlights of different events from your guys' pasts. We'll be able to grab some stuff from there as well. So we're going to be able to add a whole dimension of almost descriptibility or, you know, visual components to what you guys are already doing. Now, the fun part about all this is that at the core, you know, the show's not changing. You guys are still going to be doing what you're doing on a daily basis. And that's what people love. It gives the opportunity for a new audience or a new avenue for people to discover what you guys are doing. Recent studies have shown that YouTube really is a discoverability point for new podcasts and new programming and new content. And this just gives another avenue for that content to be exposed to an audience worldwide. Borders are no longer an issue here, guys.
Now, Andy did open up or let the cat out of the bag a little bit about the fact that we will, in fact, be recording our podcast now, as opposed to going live, and then the episode gets released the following day. Mark, can you talk to us a little bit about what it's like turning around a video podcast so that it is sufficient to be put up on YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, this is not without its challenges, especially given the nature of what you guys are talking about. It's imperative that we get out the content as soon as humanly possible. I think there will be instances where things will happen overnight after we've recorded on a Monday afternoon and it airs on a Tuesday. And we'll address that when that happens. But I think for the most part, we should be okay with it, which is why that new slot is also a pretty good time of the week, because a lot of sports happens on weekends and evenings. So, you know, turning something around like that, other than making sure that you guys know exactly what you're doing and do it right the first time, It's going from there, taking the visual components and making sure everybody's framed and beautiful and tweaked, making sure that we, you know, clean up any blunders if we have to clean up blunders, add those visual components that aren't there when we're recording. Those are things that are going to be added after the fact based on the conversation that's going on. And then, you know, one of the biggest parts of the puzzle here is we're going to be not only captioning this, you know, for an audience, but also transcribing it, and not by a computer. This is going to be human captioning and human transcription that's going to be done right after the recording is done. So we hit stop, and that immediately goes to captioning, which again helps that discoverability. It helps things like search engine optimization when people are searching for content. It's no longer just the spoken word that people can look for. They can actually look for the written version of that spoken word, which makes it really, really fun. And then, of course, it's tying all that in together, bringing the captions in, bringing the transcript in, and making sure it goes to everywhere it's supposed to go, whether, you know, from a combination of, you know, AMI audio to podcast platform to YouTube. We want to make sure it's all there at the same time. So not without its challenges, but this is why we've been spending the better part of the last 3, if not 4 months, really planning this quite meticulously, testing with each one of you to make sure that everybody has what they need to really just show up and do their job without having to worry about the technical stuff. You guys don't want to have to worry about that. Let me worry about that, and I'll take the burden of making sure that gets on the next day.
Mark, one you of talked the things... about transcribing. How is that going to work if a person wants to be able to read what we said? Is that going to be up on YouTube as well, or how does transcribing work?
Well, so it's going to be available in a text document, so people will be able to literally download that text document, which we're going to link to in the description of the YouTube video. We're going to link to on the AMI audio page for the Neutral Zone. We're going to link to it on social media. So whenever we publish a new episode, it's going to be available alongside it. So not only will people be able to see it, hear it, but they can read it at the same time.
Wow. One of the things that is a running joke on this program is my ability to keep time. As I read scripts every week, there are timestamps. There are things when I say we roughly will get out at this time or that time, and we invariably never do. And Mark, one of the things you will not have to deal with, as Matt and Jeff and other technical producers have had to do, is say to me, are you ever going to go to break? Because I don't have to go to break with this podcast. It will be a 50-minute straight run event, if you want to put it that way. And we're just going to be putting it up. And when we've run the tests, I haven't yet broke the camera. So the camera that I'm looking at, Mark has done a wonderful job. In
how much have you used the camera? How much have you used the camera, Brock?
A little bit. Mark, we very much look forward to working with you in the coming weeks. And we've gotten to work with you at the Canadian Blind Hockey Championships, and it's going to be a blast working with you, hopefully for the foreseeable future with this podcast.
I'm looking forward to it, guys, and we're still pants optional, right?
You know, I was going to ask about that.
Is that an off the show question, maybe?
Never. Never.
Is it business casual, or is it going to be like suit and tie? Like, what's it going to be?
I'll have to read the fine print and see what it says.
Yeah, fair enough. I've already told Andy I only put a tie on for certain things, so I hope it's not a certain tie, or we have to renegotiate.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, we are as well. Thank you so much, Mark, and we'll be talking to you very, very, very soon. Thanks so much.
No problem.
That's Mark Aflalo, our newest technical producer. And Andy did mention a couple of weeks ago that he'd love to see what everybody wore at my wedding. But Josh very quickly said, I only do that for those types of occasions. So we will be wearing nice things, but probably not suit and tie. Before we wrap up, if worse comes to worse,
I can pull it out if I really have to. I have plenty of shirts and ties that I can pop on if I absolutely need to. So,
yeah, Josh, I'm happy to dress you needed up if is I from need the to. Waist. You just need it from the waist up. So put on a dress shirt and a tie, and then you don't have to worry about the bottoms. So as long as you do that, it's all good. Yeah. So
sounds like
half professional, half not.
Yes, it will be fun. Before we wrap up our live edition, we were supposed to have Jeff join us on one of our anniversary episodes who had the pleasure. Well, I'm going to call it a pleasure. He'll tell us in a second, but the pleasure of teching us in various roles. And I just want to get your thoughts on the Neutral Zone as we close off this live chapter of it and move towards YouTube, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty wild ride. I remember when we first went live, or when you guys first went live, I thought that was exciting. Saturdays were quite fun as well. On this show, talking sports on Saturday morning, that was really cool. And just listening to you guys on a weekly basis, just chat sports. Like you guys know me. I mean, I love listening and chatting sports. So it's been fun, and it's great to see how much the show has advanced and how you guys are heading to video, which is quite the feat. So congrats, guys.
Thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure working alongside all of our technical producers. I'm just going to give a quick shout out to all of them. Nick Lisk, Sam Robinson, Nazreen Abdelmajid, Jeff Ryman, and of course, Matt Agnew. And moving towards Mark Afalo, it has been a pleasure coming to you week after week live, and we will still give you the exact same content, the exact same nonsense, the exact same jokes, everything like that, beginning on September the 13th. We look so forward to you joining us on our next chapter and our next journey. With that, that wraps up our last live episode here on AMI Audio. I would like to thank Josh Watson, Cam Jenkins. I'd also like to thank our technical producer today, Jeff Ryman, our technical supervisor, Paula Dineen, and our manager of AMI Audio is Andy Frank. We look forward to you joining us on the 13th of September. It's going to be great fun. We hope you're along for the ride. With that, be safe and be well, and we'll talk to you then.